One of the things that Truett Cathy used to do, if you don't know who Truett was, he was the founder of Chick-fil-A and the inventor of the Chick-fil-A sandwich. One of the things that he used to do all the time at staff meetings and when he would come up to speak at our annual conference of all our Chick-fil-A operators and their spouses and be thousands of people in the room is what he called the happy cheer. And Chick-fil-A always wants people to be happy. Truett always wanted people to be happy. So we would start out a lot of these big meetings with the staff and the operators with a happy cheer. So we're going to do the happy cheer this morning.
Y'all are going
to
love it.
So you have to stand up to do the happy cheer. You cannot, if you're able to stand, please stand. You can't do the happy cheer seated. So I am going to lead it. And what I'm going to do is what Truett did. He's going to say, I'm going to say, is everybody happy? And then you are going to respond, yeah, man, H-A-P-P-Y. Whoo! And then that's going to be followed by thunderous applause. So we're going to try this, and you may not get it on the first time, but we'll try it again. All right. Is everybody happy? Yeah, man. H-A-P-P-Y. Woo! All right. You guys nailed it on the first try.
One more time.
All right. Is everybody happy? Yeah, man. H-A-P-P-Y. Woo! All right, so maybe next week we'll do the Chick-fil-A cheer, which is give me a C, give me an F.
All right, y'all can be seated. Oh, me. Thank you, Steve, for me putting you on the spot like that. I was just going to get up in here and go, is everybody happy? And y'all look at me, but I had coached my Sunday school class to... And Naomi herself was going to sound like 50 people. She'd already promised me. Okay. Anyway. Yeah. Put him on the internet or take videos when he wasn't looking. And says, Anna always puts it on the internet. No, anyway. Anyway, I mean, some of you probably are thinking this morning, that made me unhappy, what I just had to do. You know, anybody feel like that this morning? It was like, you know, because sometimes if you're not feeling happy and somebody wants you to do something silly like that, it just is like, it just makes it 10 times worse. But so anyway, I've been thinking about happiness this week. Of course, I've been at the beach, so it's easy to think about happiness when you're at the beach. But I entitled this message, Are You Happy? Because I think for a lot of people, the answer to that question is no, I'm not. And if you're interested in making yourself happy, one of the things you can do is you can go to Google or the internet or DuckDuckGo or somewhere and, you know, and you can put in the search engine, how can I be happy? Or what can I do to find happiness? And so I did that. I went on the internet and some of the things that I found was about half of our level of happiness is based on genes. Some people are just predisposed to be happier and more upbeat than others, but that does not mean you cannot increase your level of happiness if it does not come naturally. In fact, research has suggested that 40% of people's happiness comes from the choices they make. Or you might find this. This year's survey suggests you can be happier if you choose to be happy with whatever you do. Strengthen your closest relationships and take care of yourself physically, financially, and emotionally. Or you might find this. One answer certainly is relationships. To be happy, we need enduring, intimate bonds. We need to feel like we belong. We need to be able to confide. We need to be able to get support. And just as important, give support. Anything that deepens or broadens relationships tends to make us happier. Or you might find this, my personal favorite, the secret of happiness is to see all the marvels of the world and never to forget the drops of oil on the spoon. Y'all want me to pause for a minute so y'all can think about that one? Anyway, and I was reading a book on the beach this week, and I won't recommend the book, but one of the quotes in it was, most unhappiness comes from not being able to sit quietly in a room. Most unhappiness comes from not being able to sit quietly in a room. I thought that was an interesting quote. But needless to say, there are limitless articles on what you can do to be happier. But I realized that no one really knows the secret to happiness. One thing all of the articles had in common was that they were going to give you a list of things that you can do. But one of the things that happened to me this week was I turned in the Bible to Psalm 1. And it says, "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law they meditate day and night." So I think if we really want to find the secret to happiness, if we want to be happy people, we need to go to God's Word. Because God is our creator. He made us. He knows what will make us happy. He knows how for us to be happy people. And I think He wants us to be happy people. And if you don't like the word happy, you can exchange it for joyful people. But as we were talking in Sunday school this morning, God is a joyful God. He's full of joy. One of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And the reason it's a fruit of the Spirit is because God is full of joy. And so if the Holy Spirit dwells in us, the Holy Spirit is God living in us. And so if one of His fruit is joy, then that tells us God is full of joy, right? And so God wants us to be happy, joyful people. And I think Psalm 1 gives us a look into how we can be those happy people. Unlike the internet that tells us several things that we should do to be happy, God starts off in this psalm by telling us three things that happy people don't do. And so that's kind of where I wanted to go this morning. Three things that happy people don't do, and then He tells us one thing that they do do. First of all, they don't follow the advice of the wicked. Well, now you may be thinking, well, I don't follow the advice of the wicked either, because so that's not applicable to me. But if you think about what the Bible's definition of wicked is, you get a whole different picture. Because the Bible, we won't go into a whole theological lesson, but the Bible teaches us that the wicked are simply those that don't believe. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever?" All through the scripture, as you study it, you find out that when God's talking about the wicked, He's not necessarily talking about people that just do wicked things. He's talking about people that don't believe Him. That's who the wicked are. So people that do not have faith, God says, happy people don't listen to their advice. Three places in Scripture, God tells us that the righteous are those who live by faith. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." In Hebrews chapter 10, 37 and 38, it says, "For in just a little while he who's coming will come and will not delay, and but my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." And then Galatians 3:11 says, "Clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith." So when you're speaking biblically, the righteous people are those who have faith, and the wicked people are those who do not have faith. So in our search for happiness, according to God, we need to be careful who we are listening to. So who are you listening to? Where do you get your insight and your wisdom and your advice on how to live? What TV programs are you watching? What talk shows are you watching? What podcasts are you listening to? Where are you getting your advice from? And, you know, I want us to seriously think about that this morning, because if you're struggling to be happy, if you're struggling to be a joyful person, then maybe one of the things is that you're not listening to people that believe God. You're listening to the wicked. A second thing that those who are happy don't do is they don't take the path that sinners tread. Well, what path do sinners tread? They tread the path of sin. And so sin in our lives makes us unhappy. We might find pleasure for a while. I mean, in Hebrews chapter 11, 24 and 25, it says, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. The Bible never says that sin is not fun and pleasurable for a season. It just says that the wages of it is death. So sin is fun, and it can bring moments of happiness. But happy people don't walk in the path of sin. Sin is not the practice of a happy person's life. There's a huge difference in momentary pleasures and being a happy person, because sin does not make a person happy. So if you're not happy, then maybe we need to ask ourselves, is there sin in my life? Is there sin? Is there something in my life that I'm doing because I think it brings me a measure of pleasure? But I really know that it's not pleasing to God. And so even though I might have these moments of pleasure because of this sin, I'm not going to be a happy person, because God says that happy people don't live in sin. So that's the second thing. A third thing that happy people don't do is they don't sit in the seat of scoffers. The Amplified Version in this verse says, nor sit down to rest in the seat of scoffers or ridiculers. So a scoffer, if you look up the definition of scoffer, is someone who mocks, jeers, or makes fun of a person or thing, often in a way that shows they think it's silly or stupid. In other words, an arrogant person. And so there's a lot of scoffing going on these days. And I think it's because we have access to so much information, and we get a little bit of information and we think we know the whole story. And so we scoff at others who don't think like we do. Have you ever found yourself in a group of people hanging out and y'all are just criticizing, you're laughing, you're mocking another person or a group of people that don't think and act like you do? I'm the only one. Okay, that is sitting in the seat of a scoffer. And I confess, I can fall into that trap. You know, if you have a political point of view, I bet you can fall into that trap too. When you get around people that think like you, you can talk about the other side, you can mock the other side, you can ridicule the other side, and y'all can all just sit around and have a big party sitting in the seat of a bunch of scoffers. Scoffers are cynical people. The definition of cynical, one of the definitions of cynical, is believing the worst about human nature and the motives of others. Because when we're sitting around scoffing, when we're sitting around ridiculing and criticizing people that are not like us, that we disagree with, we're thinking usually the worst of their motives, that they're horrible people. How could they believe that? How could they think that? Paul was telling me this week that people our age are really cynical. And the reason, and I don't know if he made this up. Did you just make this up? Is this just one of those things that went through your head?
Or
okay, okay. Anyway, he was saying that one of the reasons we're so cynical is because we are the generation that had to grow up with LPs, you know, the big albums, and then they gave us 8-track tapes to go along with that, you know, the bigger tapes, and then they gave us cassette tapes, the little tapes, and then we had to get rid of our cassette tapes for CDs, and then they got rid of the CDs for MP3s. We all had to get an iPod so we could listen to it on an iPod. And now we don't even have any of that. None of that works. I remember the last time I bought a car, I started trying to figure out how to put the CD in it, and it didn't even have a CD player. I'm like, what in the world? You know? But now it's just streaming. You're just streaming it. And if you don't have the internet, you're just out of luck. You know, and so he was talking about how we're that generation that's had to deal with all of these changes. And so we're like, well, what's next? What are y'all going to come up with next? What do we have to change next? What new thing do we have to learn next? Because when you think about it, I don't know that any generation has had to bam, 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 change so much. But as I thought about that, I thought it's not just the older generation that's cynical these days. I think every generation is getting cynical these days because we are exposed to so many differences. We have so many choices. We have so much information, and there are no absolutes. And then we're told we need to tolerate anything and everybody until our head is just spinning around. And so it's a lot easier. The easiest thing to do is just to sit down in the seat of a scoffer and complain about everybody else. Because we're all just like, what in the world? Or as my grandson used to say, what the world? What the world? But that does not make us happy. Sitting in the seat of a scoffer does not make us happy. It may give us a temporary feeling of being right and having our own opinions validated by people who think like us. But if you're like me, you leave those settings feeling gross and like you wish you hadn't said anything. You know, why? What was I saying? Why did I say that? What was I thinking? That was just yuck. People who sit down and fellowship with scoffers are not happy people. So the next time you find yourself there, get up. Just get up. And you know, sometimes it helps me to remember that we're all made in the image of God. Every single one of us. The person that you can't stand the most, that thinks so differently from you, whose politics and religion and everything else is the other end of the spectrum from you, they're created in the image of God, and God loves them. And so before we sit down and we begin to mock and ridicule, we need to remind ourselves that, first of all, they're made in the image of God, and God loves them, and this ain't making me happy. So after giving us three things in Psalm 1 that happy people don't do, God tells us one thing that happy people do. And it's kind of two things, but I made it one thing. He says they delight in the Word of God and they meditate on it day and night. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, His precepts and teaching. And on His law, His precepts and teachings, they meditate day and night. And the word delight means to gain great pleasure, satisfaction, and happiness. And the word meditate means it's just a way to focus on Scripture by thinking about it, by speaking it slowly, mumbling it, if you will, over and over again until the words become a part of you. It's a way to ponder the words with a receptive heart and trust the Holy Spirit to work through them. And if you've ever done that, if you've ever memorized a scripture and you've just meditated on it and you've repeated it over and over again, it is amazing what God will show you in that one scripture. Things that you've never seen. It's like Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will show you great and wonderful things that you do not know. And I think he would say, and store my word in your heart, memorize it, meditate on it, and I will show you great and wonderful things that you do not know. And so you may be thinking this morning, well, you know what, Sandra, that sounds good, but I can't do it. I've tried. When I open my Bible, I fall asleep. I don't delight in the word of God because it bores me to tears. And I don't even understand what it says. So I've tried, but I can't delight in it. So I guess I'm never going to be a happy person according to you, according to the Word of God. Well, you know, if that's you, let me offer you a little bit of advice. First of all, pray and ask God to give you a heart that delights in His Word. God tells us to ask and He will give. And so we just need to pray and ask Him, God, give me a heart that delights in Your Word. Because one thing I've learned about God is that there's a lot of things that I don't have that I feel like He wants me to have and be and do. And He knows I can't do it on my own. And so every time I come against something like this that I don't have, but I feel like I'm supposed to have it, I ask God to give it to me. And I ask Him and ask Him and ask Him and ask Him until He gives it to me. And so we keep asking for that heart that delights in His Word. And then a second thing is we realize that it's a battle. Just because you tried once and it wasn't successful, you need to try again, because if you're a believer, or even if you're not, you're in a battle. There is a spiritual war going on, and we need to understand that part of the spiritual war is that the enemy does not want you in God's Word. So he will use every scheme, every strategy, every tack against you and me to keep us out of God's Word, because he knows that it is in here that we will find our life and our happiness. And so it's like the 6-week study that we just finished on spiritual warfare. You got an enemy. It's not just you. It's not just that you don't have it, that you don't, you know, well, that's just not who I am. It's not just you. You have an enemy. He has a scheme. He has a strategy against you personally to keep you out of God's Word. And you need to know that, and you need to learn how to fight it. And so, first thing, pray, ask God to give you a heart that delights in His Word. Second thing, you realize that you're in a spiritual war. Third thing, pray. Fourth thing, pick up a scripture and memorize it and live with it day and night. Just anyone, just pick up a scripture, something that maybe you learned as a child or you've heard before, or you think, I think there's a scripture that says this. Just take it, write it on a 3x5 card, put it on your phone or whatever. Memorize it, read it, listen to it over and over and over again. Just start with one scripture and hide it in your heart and see what God does with that. Because you know what I found is that when God begins to work, when He answers a prayer, it makes us hungry for more. So start with just that little nibble. And number 5 is pray. And then number 6, sign up for a Bible study with a group of people, or start one. You know, make a decision. Get in the Word of God. You know, if you don't want to come to 3 Point, if you don't want to go somewhere, there are online Bible studies. Sign up for an online Bible study. You can have your own group of friends online that you never even have to be around. You know, and y'all can be great friends, and you don't have to put up with them during the rest of your life. You can just meet with them online. But I think that can be profitable for some people, you know. And then number 7 was pray. I mean, y'all get the picture, right? Number 1, number 3, number 5, number 7 were pray, 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 pray. Because this is going to come from God. It's like the song we sang this morning. I came here with nothing but all that you've given me. We come in here with nothing except what he gives us. We don't have anything. We don't even have a desire to seek him except that he gives it to us. We don't have a desire to read his word except that he draws us to it. So we pray and we ask. God, give me that desire. Give me that ability. Give me that discipline, that determination, because I don't have it unless you give it to me. Psalm 119:1 says, happy are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Happy are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. You know, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness in his great and precious promises. And what I realize, and I sometimes forget, is that it is in his word that I find true happiness and contentment. I mean, we all go through seasons where we forget these things. But when God draws us back to his word, we realize it's true. This is where I'm going to find my happiness. This is my daily bread. And when I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, then I am truly happy. I'm happy because my faith is strong, because Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If your faith is weak, you need to get in the Bible, because the more you read the Bible, the more you read about God and who he is and what he has done and what he has promised to do, the greater your faith is to believe that God is going to move mountains in your life. And so, of course, you're happier. Because you're believing, your faith is being strengthened. I'm happy because I know I am living by the best advice possible. Psalm 119 is a long psalm, but it's got a lot about what the Word of God will do for you. And one of the things it says, it'll make me wiser than my teachers. If you get into the Word of God and you start studying the Word of God and learning from Him by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be wiser than everybody around you because you know God. I'm happy because I know my life is pleasing to the one who made me and loves me as I am in his word, meditating on it day and night, because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who believes God, who comes to God, must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. My life, my faith, my searching, my seeking him and his word pleases him. I know that I am pleasing my Father in heaven, so I'm happy about that. How much happier can we be than we know that we have pleased our Father? I'm happy because I'm hearing daily from the creator of the universe, and I don't have to fear because I know that he is still on the throne. Because I'm reading, I'm listening, I'm meditating, I'm hiding his word in my heart. I'm happy because his word gets down and it exposes the true source of my depression and my unhappiness. You know, a lot of times when we are unhappy, when we're depressed and we don't know why, and we think, well, maybe I need to go see a doctor. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. But I know one thing we do need to do is we need to get into the Word of God where we will find our happiness. And Hebrews 4 says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Or as I wrote it up there, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. If you want to know why you're not happy, if you want to know what's really going on inside of you, the Word of God is going to tell you, because it's going to cut to the core of what is really wrong in your life and why you aren't happy. And I'm happy because I have the Holy Spirit, according to the Word of God, who is my counselor. He is my comforter, and He is the one who explains everything that I need explained in this Word to me. So I encourage you this morning, if you've strayed away from the Word of God, and like I said, we all do, I do, I can get to the point where it's like, yeah, I know that. I've been reading this and studying this Bible so long, I know that. But you know what? It's new every morning. And I'm thankful that God reminded me this week as I read Psalm 1, happy are those who meditate on His Word day and night, because I've had a good week because of this Word. And that's what I wanted to share with y'all this morning, that if you strayed away from the Word of God, if you're not happy, bring it back into your life. Don't go scouring the internet for ways to find happiness. Open your Bible. Start with Psalm 1. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Pray it. Start somewhere. We have God's Word on it. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You that You are a happy God, that You are a God full of joy, and that You want us to share in Your joy. You tell us that Your joy is our strength. And Lord, that joy is to be found in You and in Your Word. And so, Lord, I pray for each of us in this place this morning that You would start a new thing, that You would fill us with new wine, Lord, that seeks hard after You and that searches diligently for You in Your Word. And Lord, that You would give each of us the ability, the power, the grace, whatever we need, the desire to hide Your Word in our heart and to live by every word that proceeds out of Your mouth. And we will give You the thanks and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.